I am unashamed. What about you?
You know, I've turned into Mr. Fix-It, which I've said many times. I'm good at destruction, not fixing.
I don't think you've really turned into Mr. Fix-It, because you already said you're incapable of that. You're trying to turn into Mr.
Well, I'll tell you this. The dishwasher is still sitting there with cinder blocks under it. Nobody has said a word now. We've gotten over how it looked.
Oh, boy.
And so.
So it does do its function.
It functions. I'm proud of it.
That's all that counts.
I mean, this is MacGyver was the number one show for a while a reason.
That's right.
And so now we go in there, you know, I take a shower and I start hearing the commode go bloop, 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 which is a bad sign.
It's never good.
So I thought,
well, you really never want your commode to be making any noise other than the flush.
No, especially from 20 yards away.
Exactly.
And so I tell Missy, I'm like, call the plumber. And she's like, oh, I said, well, look, let me,
I understand if you're getting
let me
that
take
reaction,
a whack at it
and you're getting that reaction. I agree. I mean, it should be, I tell Lisa that I hear her beep, 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 beep.
No,
I mean,
she went, oh, so I said, well, let me take a gander. And I hesitated. She didn't, I thought, see, Missy wants me to be Mr. Fix-It.
She thinks she's driving you too.
I'm not. She's
Chase,
right.
You are fulfilling the strange text that the Apostle Paul said about 1 Corinthians 7. People who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you that. So you're telling us up front, this is one of the deals. So your woman's groaning because the commode is blurping.
We're in this.
Go for marriage, Jay. See what happened.
By the way, Dad, that was Dad's quote at Sadie's wedding, just so you know. Yeah, well, at the wedding.
Boy, I got their attention.
I've always said when people say, oh, I got to go do some honeydews, I didn't know what that meant. And I was like.
Because you're thinking melon, maybe? What is that? Honeydew? Honeydew melon?
That honeydew melon. I ate one of those for the first time the other day.
Is that not
the greatest
fantastic
things I've ever eaten?
Honeydew melon.
It was 102 degrees. We were metal detecting.
Oh, you pulled a field and just ate it out in a field?
Well, old Bob. Bob is an interesting fella.
Came up on a watermelon.
A honeydew.
It's a melon. Yeah.
Well, I know, but I'd never eaten one.
Oh, wow.
And I
They're
said,
amazing.
Bob? Because usually he only eats a can of spinach and with a can of tuna fish. And so he always offers it to me. He eats the same thing every time.
You meant spinach and
He takes a can
of tuna fish.
And he eats that every time when we're out there. And
how old is he?
65 maybe. And he always says, here. And I'm like, I don't do canned spinach or canned. When I eat fish, I go catch one. I don't let somebody else put that in a can and say, ooh, tuna fish.
Did you get that? Speaking of that, I just thought of it. Some fan sent their favorite sardines. I forwarded that to you. Did you get that?
Not that I recall.
Oh, man. Send it to me again because I need it.
They were good, but I got to stay with the king.
You ate them?
I tried them.
They
were good, but I think King Oscar's got the edge.
Well, I must have sent it to Dan then.
And we're not supported.
These were skinless. They skint the fish, skint the sardines.
Oh, that's right, and gutted them because we were talking about
that. See, that's everything, Missy. She won't try it because she's
like the skin
it has
and the guts.
Skin and the guts.
Well, this company, whoever it was, skins them and guts them.
Yeah,
I kind of like the idea. I'll try them.
Yeah. They were good.
I'm not
send
going
it to
by
me again
Phil.
So I can
I mean,
it
Phil
to.
Said he makes the greatest, you know, coffee in the world, and it, you know, makes me gag. So that's why if it weren't for the veterans sending the actual pretty good coffee, you know, it'd be rough around here. So anyway, so I go in there. I thought, let's start with the hole of the drain. There's two screws. Took them out. You know, I got a light. I thought, I could tell there was something in there.
Let me stop you there. So I'm amazed because you're beyond me. So you concluded, I mean, I would have not even made the link that the bubbling, gurgling commode was linked to your drain.
Well, but the water was backing up
okay,
in
so
the
you
shower.
Did have water backing up.
That's
okay.
Always a bad sign.
Well, of course.
Wait, we're standing in ankle deep water.
You know, let me just take a look-see here. Well, I look, and I thought, okay, I actually thought it was like a varmint. When I looked down in there, I thought, We have this is something with fur.
Clogged hair used to, it could be a sign of.
I thought I told y'all
you got
this
a big
story.
Wharf rat.
Have I not told you this story?
Well, you know, Jay's the redneck. When you assume that an animal is in your shower drain, I don't know that would be most people's first. You know, there may
usually
be
a possum. There was a possum in my garage.
You did tell us that story.
Okay. Well, anyway, so here's what I did.
The unclogging of drains tends to get my way. I don't know. People.
I'm not a plumber.
Your best friend's a plumber, though, right?
He is, but I didn't. I should have called him, yeah. I guess, now that I think about it. But I didn't. And so I went out and looked at my shop. You know, every man has a shop. Yep. Well, my shop's filled with ammo, fishing supplies.
Decoys.
I don't have any tools. I got a toolbox that I've had for 30 years that doesn't have any tools
in it. That sounds like me. It's got three things left in it.
So I looked out there with all my things that I could use, and I thought, I think I got it. I have an idea. So I took an arrow, and I opened up a package of brand-new broadheads, and I put a broadhead on it. And you're like, what are you doing? So what I did was I took the arrow, and I started going down the hole with the broadhead until I found resistance. And I thought to myself,
this sounds like plumbing 101
here.
This is
not the pipe that I'm fixing to go through. But I just pushed and it went down, and I thought, okay, I think we're home. And so I started twisting.
Good move.
And so then I just started pulling.
And got something on the end of the line.
You're fishing now. You're basically fishing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pressure started to mount, and I thought, I have the beast.
I have a homemade rooter.
Yeah. Out of a broad tip arrow. There you go.
So I see the fur.
Good thinking so far.
I see the fur coming up, and I'm like, I got it.
You're still thinking it's an animal or something.
I did. Okay. I thought it was a rat. And, once I got to the opening of the hole, I mean, it just suction created in that, and it just, I mean, it came out, and I went, oh, my. It was the size of a football, I would say.
Just
and kind of shaped like a football, like a fur ball.
Yeah.
And I looked and I was like, you know what? That's just hair, which I have a lot of hair. And evidently I'm losing some of it because it's going down the drain.
Yep. And Missy too, probably.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I fixed the plumbing. And of course, then I'm like,
that's the greatest ad that Keeps could ever have. So you wonder where your hair went? Check the drain.
One of our sponsors, Keeps.
So, it actually will help with your plumbing bill. So I said, fix the plumbing. And I said, look, I want to show you this. And she's like, I don't want to see whatever is in that bag. I was like, it's hair. She's like, that is so gross. She started talking about how gross it was. I could tell she was getting nauseous. I was like, well, it wasn't gross when it was on your head. This is not gross.
Back to the text. People who marry will face many troubles in this life. Now we're arguing over a hairball and a bag.
Yeah.
Jace, this subdivision living, son, is getting out of hand up where you are.
I'm telling you. So here's what's funny. So I go, you know, next time I take a shower. Nope. Still back.
Oh, no. You didn't get it all.
Well, I thought I didn't get it all, but, you know, so we.
Did you check the shower drain?
That was where I got it from, the shower drain.
Yeah.
And so then I said, well, call the plumber because I either need a 10-foot arrow.
This may be flexible.
Yeah. I was like, I went to, you know, as far as I could go down.
Jace, they have what they call a trap that traps that down in there. That's why it's got that sharp curve in it.
Well, mine don't have a trap. My house was built in 1950, and that was before traps, I guess.
Maybe under your house, but there's one there.
Oh, there's one
so
there.
The plumber come, you know, so I was watching them. Well, they're, you know, got these cables.
Oh, they got big old, they're roto-rooted.
Oh, you mean they cleaned it out,
they're
though.
Going 10 minutes. Well, I'm getting to the end of the story. So they go 10 minutes. They're like, no, it wasn't a hairball, because I told them my little story. And it's like, good job, but should have called us. And so they cleaned it out because they want that money.
Oh, yeah.
So they cleaned it all out. They're like, you know, take a shower. Everybody's happy. 3 days later, which is last night.
3 days later.
I'm in there in the shower. I turned it on, you know, to get it going. And I hear that commode.
Oh, boop, 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 boy.
I'm like, what the heck now? I've gone the arrow. I paid the plumber. And now we're right back to where we started. Still bubbling. So I don't know.
Well, that means you got a major problem.
On down the way. Yep.
Of course, we had one. Ours was one time doing something similar.
Chase, you need to get some kind of cash going. Throw off one of them stocks you're into. You know, get you a little spare cash for these plumbers.
You're going to have a fleet of plumbers.
Plumbing is a great business because people always need them.
You got to have them.
Got to have them.
I love plumbers.
I just told you.
That's essential workers.
Look, my only point for that story is once you go down the road of being Mr. Fix-It, it's a legalistic operate. You're never going to win. That you will never achieve happiness.
And you can never get back out.
You can't get out.
That's
you
right.
can't plead. Their pleasure will never happen That's as right. a result because things keep breaking.
That's right.
It's called life. And then it's not going to look great.
And I've noticed something about people that really are good handymen that can do stuff. They don't like doing it either because they do it for a living. Yeah. So their wives are on their case the whole time. They're like, the last thing I want to do is get home is go work on this crap. So you're right. So what I've done is I've completely punted. I'm just like, I'm an idiot. I don't know anything. Don't even confuse me with that. Even when they come to work, they say, "Well, Mr. Rogers," I say, just don't even tell me. Just fix it.
You know,
I mean, I'm just writing a check. That's
just
what
to
I mean.
Enlighten what you're doing a little bit, for the last 6 weeks, every day I go down there and I have the problem identified, the whole thing. Beavers packing pipes. With mud,
I knew we were going to wind up here.
You've got the same thing on a smaller scale.
That's right.
But every day, I've been down there this morning. You pull up, and they packed it full.
Yeah.
You get it all going again. It flows all day. You can only let it flow in the day because beavers don't work in the daytime.
Well, why don't you just make what I'm saying? You need to make a pole that has
one.
The equivalent of like three blades.
I have multiple, but what I do is I leave where the limbs come out. The first limbs come out of a sapling.
Well, I was
20 feet long.
Metal steel.
Look, the end of my poles, I've got to look like this, and I'm grabbing mud and sticks and I'm rotor rooting. But I got a hold of one the other day. I went up in there 20 foot with a track hole with a rope tied on that pole, bringing forward like a rotor rooter. I went 20 feet up in there, pulled it back out, gouged it again, pulled it back out. This is a 30-inch pipe, not a little 2-inch drain pipe like your deal. I got a 30-inch pipe with mud and debris. I've got them all unstopped, but my neighbors who's draining through me. So we had to cut the levee to drain the water instead of rod the – we never did get it.
By the way, Jay's dad told me this the other day. He's probably hadn't told you that our neighbor – whenever they couldn't get it done, he was like, "We tried some of what Dad's telling me." He said, "It won't work." And so you know what they boiled down to? Dynamite.
I tried to tell you.
That's the word he used. Said, y'all get it all. Because I just looked at all of them.
Jace was right, though.
There was a time in your life where you liked it.
They broke out the dynamite, and I disappeared. Rednecks and dynamite, bad combo.
All right, let's take a break.
But you finally got it. Hey.
So I love, I say it a lot on the podcast, Dad's description of the internet as computer land. In your mind, it's like this far away.
In the cloud.
In the cloud.
It's a land I've never traveled.
Well, you know now they call it the cloud, Dad.
Well, there's a cloud, but it's not a cloud. When you think cloud, you look up in the sky.
Yeah.
You can find the cloud in the virtual realm of internet reality.
In computer land, as you
find
said.
The cloud and you find the crowd.
There you go.
Look at there. That's a marketing genius.
Yeah.
Find the cloud, find the crowd. Well, one of our sponsors is NetSuite America. Basically, what they do is they have part of that cloud business system, Dad. That's what they do. They're in the cloud. And a bunch of companies are basically there with them. And so great place, great way to be able to help your business, especially to check these guys out. So if you reach out to these guys at netsuite.com/Phil, that's NetSuite, S-U-I-T-E, you're going to get a free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take now. You get a free product tour of all their stuff. So check them out, netsuite.com/Phil. where the cloud is, the crowd is.
Good luck to you.
Jace's hairball. Man, that's interesting. We all ready to get back to the book of John?
Yeah, I'm waiting on it.
Well, we got last time we had some really good stuff to talk about. We kind of just dove into the first five verses of the book of John. And just to reset it, in case that you're new and you hadn't heard it yet, there's a man that Jesus and his disciples run up on, and he's been blind since birth. And so the disciples pose the question, who sinned that he is like this, him or his parents? Basically saying somebody messed up or he wouldn't have been born this way. And we started the conversation that that's kind of the old age-old thing. Why do bad things happen to good people? It must be bad people.
And just in life. I mean, even like, you know, things just happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no...
That's a good point, that sometimes there's just circumstance and happenstance as well as, you know, a lot of reasons why things happen.
Well, I mean, just like the plumbing story. I mean, it was nobody's fault. But it you know, bad plumbing can cause your whole life to crumble. I mean, this must be fixed.
It's like the coronavirus, sons and daughters of God. You say there's a possibility they may come down with disease. And you say, well, God says he uses them to punish the wicked. He threatened to use them. If you don't do right, I'll put pandemics. What he did to Pharaoh, one plague after the other, you know. So people get to thinking, well, maybe I'll escape it. But that's another reason to be a child of the resurrection.
That's right.
Because you never know.
That's well, exactly you can't right. spend your whole life trying to figure out why.
That's right.
About anything.
That's right.
I mean, in our case.
Some of our brothers have had coronavirus. They've called me, you know, some of them asked questions about it. Man, am I being punished here? I mean, is that what you're saying? I said, look, I'm not saying that. I said, just be prepared for physical
for
death
anything.
At any time.
Well, in Jesus, the true power is that no matter what happens, you're going to be able to trump whatever happens by God's power, ultimately through the resurrection, but
that's
also
right.
just in your attitude. And, you know, what's inspiring about life is when you see people who have reasons to quit and they don't.
Yep.
Well, then all of a sudden we have inspiration.
Yeah.
You know, the Apostle Paul listed all kinds of sufferings, including jail, beatings, you know, everything. And he had a list this long. He was telling the Corinthians what had happened to him. He said, but we carry on. Just keep moving forward.
You're right. You think about that. If anybody, even if I lived through three or four things on Paul's list, I think it was pretty rough go of it, right?
You know, how many times he say 40 lashes minus one?
The 39 lashes.
Well, I've said this before. I'm friends with a kid. Well, he's not a kid anymore. He's 20 years old, but. You know, the average lifespan for someone with the condition he had was like 7. And he just refused to believe that. And he's a believer. And so every time the doctors, of course, they look at him as like, well, he's the longest living person with this disease. It's about this long, the word.
Right.
But he refuses to get into the stats or acknowledge that whatsoever because he's like, I'm a son of God. You know, I'm not worried about whatever number, what stat, but it's all in how you respond to that.
Right. And he's still here?
He's still here.
There you go.
He's the average age, or I think the longest living was 7, and he's 20.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much turned that upside down, which he believes God healed him. And even though he's sick and he has bad days, in his mind, he just chose to say this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life rather than look at the stats and say, yeah, I'm going to die at 7. And, you know, now the world would just say, well, that kid just got a strong will or he's a survivor. Because that's what the doctors are saying. Well, I've never seen such the will to live as this young man. It's unusual. But, he gives the credit to God, you know.
We got a pastor friend of ours, or former pastor now. He's doing some other stuff. And he's got a little girl. I think she's about 12 now. And she's been down. We've all met her. And her name is Riley. And she was born with this terrible thing. And they couldn't even diagnose her. And so she couldn't speak. She had a trach. And she had all these, you know, issues with her back. And she can't walk. So she's in a wheelchair. And so when I first met him, you know, but she was the sweetest little girl. She's got the little glasses on. And by now, by the time I met her, she had started talking. She didn't start talking until she was 7 years old. And so, you know, a lot of people ask him about it. He gets those same questions because this girl. Turns out she's 12 now. They just diagnosed her a year or two ago, but she's the only person on the planet that they've made up a new one. She's the only one that has it, whatever it is. And again, it's this long thing. She was born with these maladies, but it's like nothing else. You know, they looked at all the other things that have caused this in children, couldn't find it. And so that's what Josh and her dad and I were talking about. It was like, but we all see the work of God displayed in her life. I mean, now she's like praise and worship, you know, her hands are up there. Mm-hmm. They go to where Giglio is in Atlanta. And, you know, just watching her, this is, you know, a girl that could be bitter and all that, but she's sweet. She loves the Lord. She's praising God. And I was like, when every time I see her, she inspires me, mm-hmm. you know, because they understood this concept. Of course, we didn't talk about this last time, but maybe part of this whole thought about, you know, someone's sin is therefore causing this cause and effect of what's bad in their lives. You know, sin did cause the original sin in the garden brought death. I mean, because God said, if this happens, you're going to die.
Well, then there's a big debate on whether that was spiritual death
right.
or physical
death. But it actually brought both.
It brought both because he said you're no longer, which I think we differ on how we feel about this, but they were separated from God because he kicked them out of the garden. But they were also separated from that tree of life, which I don't believe the Bible, you know, puts things in there by accident. Because he says you will no longer be able to stretch out your hand and eat from the tree of life.
Correct.
So it actually brought both. Now,
which I've always thought, and this is just a theory, that whatever properties that the Almighty put into that fruit had such an impact that they were going to live as long as they didn't see it.
This is the ultimate antibiotic.
Boy, you talk about.
Well, it doesn't bother me that you can eat something and he can keep you alive. You
know, which is forever. Why I think for generations, the first few generations, they were all living to be 1,000 years old.
But all
I
mean,
I think it was from whatever that fruit was.
Well,
you know,
I mean, maybe, but everybody debates this, but you got to remember, and I've seen, you know, theologians get up and argue about why this can't be. Okay, this thing started with making man from dust. Well, let's debate that.
Or a woman from a rib.
Well, right.
I think
how are you going to pull that off?
From the first human beings, Adam and Eve, this is my thinking on it. This is no mutations. No, this gene pool is pure.
Yep.
Well, I think that's why you say, yeah, you're middle aged when you get to be 500 or 450 years. Yeah. You're just now.
I remember my middle age years, 400 to 600.
These guys, when they got into about 400 and something, they said, boy, you the old time is catching up with you. But they're living 800-900 years. You're like, whoa.
Well, I wonder.
Because they're populating the earth.
If you're
give
40,
that 6,000 or 7,000 years. I'm a young earth man. Y'all may not be, but I am. And you say, give that all these mutations that happen. You say, it's growing. We just, and now we're down to 70 if you're lucky, yeah. And
well,
80
you
if you have the
like
strength.
Do you think it's like a dog, though? I mean, like in dog years, do you think they like when they were 400, were they like 40? Are you just adding the zero, or did they just get old and just stay there till 900?
Oh, I you know, that's a good
all
question.
I know is if you live to 900 at 450, you're about halfway, which is, I just looked at the math and said, well, that's about middle age.
My theory is always.
Wouldn't you forget how old you were?
You know, it'd
maybe.
Be a, it'd I mean, be a cool can. Thing to get to be 450 and you just now reached middle age. Right.
But you would have no idea, Phil, because you don't know
one thing, if you wanted to populate the earth, you would have done that.
Right.
A lot of kids.
But, Jace, you may be right because Abraham lived to be, I think it was 150. Mm-hmm. And when he was,
you know, it just starts down all of a sudden.
Well, when he was in his 90s and about to be 100, he said, my body's as good as dead in terms of reproducing. Mm-hmm. So he made it sound like it wasn't like middle age for him. I mean, you think,
well, I know.
So it seemed like he was already old. And he
can
just
you
lived.
Imagine? Because I mean, you see somebody that's 100 years old. I mean, they're old. 900. I mean, this guy. It's just a skeleton.
He's got to be weathered. I mean, you know, can you imagine the skin on a 900-year-old man?
Tough old coot.
All I know is by the time you get to be 900, I don't know when the sexual activity stopped, but it would be a lot faster to get the population of Earth. You know, the according to the United Nations, I studied their little deal, timeline, the curve, it was a flat line for 5,000 years, 6,000, 7,000 years.
People went crazy
years.
When, you know, like Viagra was invented. Because right. now in words, all of a sudden, the old people.
The population didn't start up till about the Industrial Revolution. And that's when it started going off, took off like a rocket. And they looked up and it was 7.2 billion of us. A thousand years before then, it was about 250 million worldwide. According to the United Nations, right. they studied it. You say, boy, this thing took off like a rocket about 300 years ago. But it was low up until then.
Well, can you imagine what was in that tree of life?
Oh, man. I mean, there had to be a property. Let's take a break. So one of my favorite sponsors is Tommy John, because they make the best, most breathable underwear in the world. You know, and I've tried a lot of different ones.
I always thought you're somewhat of a sissy if you're talking about your underwear. A man now. A man discussing underwear. I'm like, no. Nah.
Well, Phil, they're selling. How are you going to sell it? You got to do
that's what
market.
I'm saying. I'm all in on Mr. John, whoever he is. I'm all in on it.
Tommy John.
Take away your manhood, but to me, it's a little bit soft.
I will raise my hand. I am a sissy when it comes to underwear.
We've never had a discussion about underwear.
We never have. It's the first one we've ever had is on this podcast. And so basically, they call it cool cotton. It's so great in the summer because that's when it's just brutal.
Cotton is the best material.
I have a cotton t-shirt on
because in the hot summertime in Louisiana, this keeps you cooler than any of it.
Yeah.
White t-shirt. Cotton.
It's good. Cotton is the best. Right.
And it used to be white. Now
it's
got a few stains.
Many colors.
You know.
So here's what you do. Go to TommyJohn.com/Phil to get 20% off your first order. And look, this is only for a limited time, so don't wait around. That's TommyJohn.com/Phil for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Phil.
No, and that's my point. My point is that physical death did begin there because that's what God said, but there was spiritual death. I mean, it was both. To me, it's pretty clear. And maybe that's where this idea came from then because, well, that was cause and effect. You know, you sin, you die, which is true.
Yeah.
And that's why the restoration, which is the rest of the Bible, is that you're reconnecting with God first to reconnect spiritually, but then also to say we can live forever.
The follow-up on this guy who was born blind, just the follow-up text, Al, it's almost funny.
Well, it is funny. It's about as the reason I told you about being Mr. Fix-It, because I'm not. But if you don't have any, you know, skills, you just have to have common sense. But in this case, if you were just not a believer and you thought, well, here's a guy that's born blind, here comes Jesus, the way he chose to fix this, okay, number one, it's offensive. Because the only thing that would guarantee a fight or a butt whooping when I was a kid is if I spit on one of my brothers. I don't know if you remember, that was a don't do. Once that happens, there will be bloodshed. If you spit on me, you know, Willie's go.
Even Willie.
Well, it's such an offensive thing, but in this case, he makes a little mud out of his. How does that read out?
It's verse 6, he says, he spit on the ground. This man born blind. He spit on the ground. So he just imagine a big spit enough to make some mud.
Which, back to a Josie Wales reference, they made a B story, which is what you say in Hollywood, over spitting. Because most people, look, they spit in the South.
You would have thought it would have been more of a physician-type move. But in this case, this is the direct opposite. Instead of saying, well, he was sort of like positional about it, he said, yeah, it looks like you've had some problems there.
Hey, let me make a mud pie. You know, this is a mud pie is what he's making.
I mean, this is a tough issue because this is a cultural, what would you call it? Controversy? Because people in the north don't spit.
Well,
yeah, they almost viewed
well,
it as rude.
Offensive.
Rude when
like, so I was in New York City, you know, I spit on the ground, which there's very little of it there. Mm-hmm. And people would look at you like, I mean, without even like a dip of snuff, just spit on the ground. I don't know what. I had something in my mouth that I thought, I need to spit this out.
But you're
and
talking.
They're like, how dare you spit on the ground? This is offensive.
Look, through him, all things were created. John chapter 1, we covered this a few months ago. You're like, so here he is, but if he made human beings out from the dust of the earth, well, we have one that he made, all things were made through him, and you say, so he's the one that created humanity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and now spitting on the ground, if he brought you from dust to begin with,
right.
Spitting on the ground would be kind of like, well, you gather that up. You say, he's basically saying, listen, well, there's nothing that I can't do.
I guess divine spit. But so it's interesting because you're right. I wonder what their cultural moire was for this situation about the spitting. Because, you know, I was just reading this week, Jace, that there's all the new rules for Major League Baseball, coronavirus style, cause it's about to start in 2 weeks. One is no spitting.
No spitting.
No spitting
well,
in Major League Baseball.
They're trying to get at that no tobacco chewing.
Yeah, there goes the Copenhagen.
But think about when you watch a baseball game, how often do you see a baseball player spit? Whether it's he's just spit. There's some of them that just they're
every
standing there
30
at the plate.
Seconds.
Just,
some of them are like professional sunflower.
That's right.
Combiners. Yeah. They put it in their mouth.
There's holes coming out of the corner of their mouth. And I'm like,
the dude is a professional sunflower.
So they were interviewing some guy when I was reading this, one of the players, and because they were saying, what about the new restrictions? And they were listing all this stuff. And he said, well, to be honest, the only thing I'm worried about is the spitting. Yeah. I mean, he's like, I've spent my whole life from when I was and I'm looking out there at my six-year-old grandson playing baseball last night. Guess what he's doing? Spitting about every 30 seconds. Oh, yeah. I said, well, he's a ball player. I mean, that's how I know.
But he chose something gross. And then he said, go wash yourself, which I think – a lot of people, if you're going to spit on the ground, if this is what it's going to take.
So he put it on his eyes. He made a little mud pie.
Of course, he can't see what he's doing probably, but everybody else is thinking, this is gross.
But it wasn't over then because he had to go.
He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam.
Well, because he's got another man's spit, which is turned into mud on his eyes. Well, you need a shower.
Well, and here's the thing. There was a lot of, you know, the Jews had a lot of ceremonial issues about a lot of stuff. And so that's part of these. They would have to go wash a lot of times in a pool if they had a disease or whatever. And then they would have to go quarantine for a while. So, you know, there's a lot of stories in there about this. So maybe it had something to do with that. The man went, he washed, and he came home seeing, so it worked.
Now, but now how do you tell this story?
Well, right.
It's like untellable.
But look, I want to –
You're like, I was blind. I was born blind.
Put dirt in your eyes
you
and
get
that'll fix you right up.
You go down to the local higher power, you know, we're moving on, and you say, well, I was blind for 40 years, and I met a guy who
and they
spit,
tell me
he spit on the ground
because he didn't see it, so they had to tell him. Somebody told him what.
And he told me to go wash, and they're like, "Oh, so now you're high on cocaine?" I mean, seriously, no one would believe this. And you read it in the Bible, and you say, "No, this is what are we doing?"
So here? Before we get to the reaction, because it is almost comical for a little ways here in John 9. I want to read you this from Mark 8. Here's another story, another situation. This is verse 22. It's in Bethsaida, which we've talked about Bethsaida before. Some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Because remember, Jesus has multiple healings. Sometimes he touches one woman touched him and got healed. So there's all these different ways. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. So imagine this scenario.
And sometimes when someone told him about an ailment.
Oh, then he just spoke it.
He just did it.
Remember
we talked about before he got there.
The rich man's son. So when he had, here's what he did with this guy. He didn't make mud. He just spit on the man's eyes.
Where's this at?
This is Mark 8.
Yeah. That's the one that said I can see, but it looked like trees.
So that's
around.
So he spit on the man's eyes and he put his hands on him. And Jesus said, do you see anything? So we talk about gross. Forget it. The mud was bad, but what about somebody
which would got me a butt whooping as a kid?
That's right. He said, and then Jesus says, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and he said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around." You know, so he's blurred vision from the spit. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then they were opened. His sight was restored. He saw everything clearly, and he said, "Don't go into the village." Now, you talk about a bizarro. That's another bizarro healing. Now, the reason why, by the way, I'll just give you the short
version. By the way, out of all the ways ways you could have presented this story to the human race, because atheists right now are saying, these idiots, they actually right. believe that.
That's exactly right.
What do you do, Jace?
I do believe it.
I do, too.
I think it's so crazy.
Off the wall.
It's so off the wall that I'm like, yep, makes sense to me. I think a lot of it, too, is what would you do to allow, you know, if you want to be free from something, what would you dare to try? I mean, a lot of people say, well, I'll try anything. And then you tell them what to do, and they're like, I ain't doing that.
Right.
I mean, that's redneck culture 101. You tell somebody how to fix something. I mean, even I hate to use myself for example, but go back to that stupid dishwasher, but I'm like, this will work right here.
Right.
Missy's like, nope. I don't like the way that looks. I don't like the way it feels. It seems weird. This is way worse than that, and this is real life.
So let's take another break. So one of our new sponsors is a group called Scoremaster.com, and I didn't know much about this until I did a little research into it, Jace. But these guys are basically help you lower your credit. Let's see. Let me do that again. So what these guys do is they help you raise your credit score.
Yeah.
So you have a higher number. Apparently, if you're trying to buy a boat, buy a house, buy you an ATV, you have to go and get a loan, and it's hard to get a loan if your credit number is lower, which means you may have.
Yeah,
had some
they
problems.
Just look down and see your credit number and say, "Heck no!"
Or we're going to have about 6 or 8% more interest on it. That's kind of the way it works. So it's really hard for people that are just starting and all that and struggling because the score is low. So these guys have a way. It's a great system to help raise that up. I mean, they talk about some that have raised 61 points in less than 20 days. So obviously it can help you and help you quickly if you need these guys. So we want you to check them out, scoremaster.com/Phil. That's scoremaster.com/Phil and get your credit score up. So my theory is that Jesus didn't have a power outage. It wasn't like it was a short circuit healing.
Well, that's not a theory. That's true.
And that's true.
Okay.
So there had to be a motive, like you said before, Jez. He doesn't do things just by accident. So he gives a little lesson to his disciples, just like we're about to get to at the end of John 9, where he talks about they're seeing, but they're not seeing.
Which is the same thing we're talking about.
Exactly.
So by the way, they're arguing about whether it was really him or not.
Well, right.
Some of them said, "No, I don't think that was him." I mean,
your point is the reason that's why you said blurry.
Right.
Because from their view, they're kind of getting it, but not really.
Exactly. I think he did it as a point to his disciples. It's like, because he rebukes them later, a couple of chapters later in Mark, that they're not seeing.
Why couldn't it be representative of the Pharisees? Were there any Pharisees around in Mark 8?
Not at the healing, no.
Oh,
but okay. I'm saying he and we're going to get there in John 9. I think he was doing it to try to teach a lesson to the disciples. It's like it's almost like I got to touch you a second time before you're seeing what's going on.
Well, it could be like a prerequisite. No, I think that's better than a theory. I think that's what he was doing. But when did that occur? Maybe at the resurrection? Because, they all believed him. You know, then they were touched again.
That's right.
At the resurrection.
How many times do you read in the Gospels where it says, then they realized what he was talking about after the resurrection? Then they realized. So that's what opened their eyes, ultimately, which was why the Pharisees never got
it. That's a good idea.
I think that's why.
We know he didn't some kind of, a break from heaven were like, we, you know, the surge line, right, wherever he was getting the power, you know, somebody there was tripped over the cord in heaven. An angel, you know, was fighting with a demon.
There was a kink in the hose, you know, yeah, or something like that.
Well, that's what the world was. So let me ask you. Like, oh, we've had a power.
Whoopsie, I almost missed that one.
Yeah. Or God was sleeping for a second and somebody woke him up. I mean, that's what they're, because you just can't relate
so
to that.
So my next question then, before we get back
to, I was thinking with the guy that got the cataract out of my eye. But he did say, come back in 3 days after the operation. He said, I need to check that. Well, came back then. He said, yeah, keep these drops going in your eyes.
But you were seeing strange things,
yeah,
weren't
you? Yeah, oh, yeah. 2 weeks later, he says, so let's go in. And he put up the number, the letters over there on the wall. And I'm sitting there, you know. So I said, yeah, AJQ5, you know, whatever it was. And he said, whoops, he said, 2015. I said, you're kidding. He said, you now have 2015 vision, which is better than 2020.
I thought 2020 was
because I got the cataract out of your eyes. So there was a little bit of him checking, kind of like Jesus was from a doctor's standpoint, you know. He just, he said, you're good to go.
Well, I must need a cataract. Improved. All I can see is E when I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah.
E?
The big
he said, he said, instead of doing this, he held up a book in front of me. He said, instead of doing this, look, I'm looking right here, right now, at this book. You say, can you read it? I barely can, but it's blurry. Watch this. I move it right there.
I'm same way, but only out of the right eye.
Well,
so I closed my – look.
Well,
if
when
I,
he fixed it, when he took the cataract out, I went from – I'm 2015, but he said, instead
well,
of like
can
this,
you see it now?
Now it's blurry, but he said you to pull back a little bit.
Well, and Phil,
I said you got to be kidding. He said no.
Just took your money because I'm the same way right now, and I hadn't had a cataract surgery.
Well, that's why you need a little tune-up.
But you're still blurry.
They can do it. They can do a tune-up now.
Well, wait a minute. But you're saying you're still blurry now.
Yeah, up close.
If it's close.
Well, that's the way I am right now. But whatever when I get he put right here, it's
whatever
blurry.
Kind of lens he put in there to replace to get rid of the cataract. Whatever they do to. To replace
oh,
that.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, just going to vary it just a little bit. Now, instead of here, you're going to – he said, watch. He said, what about that? I said, he said, clear or blurry? I said, blurry. And he moved it back about that far. He said, what about now? I said, perfect. He said, that's why I got 2015 vision. Those numbers,
okay.
They'll
– this guy, I don't believe him. Because, look,
I paid him, so I mean
– all right, look, I know – the spiritual
I know
is
this.
More important.
I can see better now than I could before.
Now, you got con. Look, right here, it's blurry, okay? I hadn't been to an eye doctor in my life, and this just started happening.
Oh, yeah.
All right. When
welcome
I move,
to the 50-year-old,
Jay. When I move it back right here, perfect.
Yep.
I can see perfectly.
Yep.
Neither this man nor his parents
said,
look, when I come up, it got blurry.
Yep.
So look, close the right eye, not blurry. Oh, well, a little, but right there, fine.
Same way with me.
But well, it's your eyes.
You might have got that inherited. One of my eyes is one way.
But you were saying it was because of your surgery.
Look, if I do this and I'm looking at the TV, you know, I can see
and
clearly.
And you're doing this to hear.
I can do this. And I said, he said, one eye is farsighted, the other eye is nearsighted. That's where you are, my friend.
Well, but see, you're saying that happened as a result of your cataract surgery. I'm saying it just happened.
Age.
All right.
Age on the eyes.
Let's take our last break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0? My annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee. Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
So here, so you're right about the near side and far side, because let me blow your mind then. So here for me, perfect. I mean, I can read it all. I could read it, but yep. when I go back, I can't see anything.
Yep.
You go on that wall
that's
right there.
That's a different problem.
Well, because I'm nearsighted.
Could
I can
be
see
both
it.
Your eyes.
I'm seeing up close. I can't see far away.
One of mine is nearsighted. One of them's farsighted.
Well, if I had to pick
so
one,
look, he just he
like
chose
mine.
In the middle. Where they
yeah,
because
I have to
together.
Have glasses to see. Your...
So I didn't get conned. That guy knew what he was doing, dude.
Yeah, but this all happened after the surgery.
I went from my left eye saying, well, it's just a blur, everything. I went from there to all I could do is move this back a little bit about that far.
Well, he just put you to where I am.
That's right.
Okay.
All see, right, if I put my glasses on, then I can see now. I can see Connor. Oh, look, I can see good stuff, but I can't see this anymore.
You have 17 pairs of glasses on the table right now. Right and now. You just had surgery.
Close.
Look at the glasses.
They're piled up here.
Perfect.
It looks like to me you have multiple problems.
Better without the glasses.
I'll tell you what. Let me go spit on the ground and put it on your eyes.
Say, we're back to the spit again.
Yeah, you boys. Yeah. So finish your story. So, they're arguing about.
Well, we're not going to finish it all today. But so here's what happens. So the guy goes, he's healed. His neighbors see him, and I'll just summarize the next
verse. Now, this is the Mark 8.
No, we're back to John 9. Yeah. Mark 8, that was another weird.
But that was a crazy story.
It's a crazy story.
Just as crazy because he.
Well, and the point I was going to ask you guys is it's interesting that Jesus showed he had a myriad of healing ways to do things. I mean, like he didn't just stick to one thing. Sometimes he could speak it. He could, you know.
Both stories have one thing in common. He was trying to get them to see that Jesus is the light.
That's right.
I mean, we take being blind as a powerful, horrible condition, physically blind, which I'm sure he does too. But he healed him so he could see not just physically, but he gets back into this Jesus being the light, which is what we talked about in John 3 and John 1.
And to
living your life out loud and proud and confessing
and
your sin.
And to the point that you've made consistently through this whole book of John, the sign was never the point. Mm-hmm. He was the point. And then you notice he always has a lesson out of the sign. In other words, he's trying to, especially his disciples, he's trying to get them to understand it's not the miracle. He knows what's going to happen when he's gone. They're going to have this power. And then it would be real easy if they didn't understand the narrative here that then they would just be doing it for their own glory, which, by the way, is what happened in almost every New Testament.
What we don't want to say, but I'm going to say, well, this makes people uncomfortable. But I'm going to say this.
I'm fixing to say.
I'm going
to
say
I like
because
it
I think it's the point, but nobody wants to talk about this, especially people who don't believe in God. But if you let this go in your mind, Jesus would the point is you would be better off in Jesus blind physically.
That's a great point.
Than because, the opposite.
Because even without your eye having vision, the souls among us, the brothers who are blind, they can still see the light. They don't even have eyes.
Well, that was his point. I think that's why he picked a blind man. But you got to remember, now we got back to where we started, which is why the bad things happen. There's some situations that you're actually better off in, and we don't want to pray these prayers. You know, like a prayer you don't want to pray, I have prayed them before, is do whatever it takes for this to happen, for them to see you and your son. Well, once I pray that prayer, I'm like, whatever it takes.
Get ready.
If it has to be something bad. But I would rather, especially when it comes to my kids, my wife, those I love, I would rather something bad happen and they stay with Jesus. I mean bad in a physical way than the opposite.
We have one of our mentors who's passed away and his wife too, that they lost a son. He was in his 20s in a car wreck, bad car wreck. He and his wife died. Their daughter survived, and which I just met with her and her husband a few weeks ago working on some issues. But his mom, the mom, the grandmother, Barbara, she prayed that prayer. She for all her children, she said, God, I want them to be in heaven forever. And so whatever that means, if, you know, that's what I want. Well, they died at a terrible car wreck in their 20s. And but when I watched them through that process, all of us did, their faith never wavered. Because she said, no, well, I already told the Almighty whatever it takes for them to be in heaven. And so in her mindset, so other people look at that and say, well, that's crazy. I mean, you know, why, you know.
This the world has a really problem with it because they're like, this is so bizarre. But for us, if you believe the resurrection's real and God's greater purpose is real.
So you just
go with it.
The first thing Carl said, who we all love, this Carl, is when his son died, the first, because Kellett was there, he told me this, he looked at Barbara, and they're in shock, of course, the state troopers there, and he looked at her and he said, Barbie, that's what he said, Barbie, this is what we live for. Now, that was his first words on hearing that his son and daughter and I had just been killed. Now, that's a man of faith. We talk about a man that reasons to the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we know that because we know this man. He lived that his whole life.
He sure did.
And so that's kind of the point.
He literally was the most positive, or is, because he didn't go anywhere really.
No, that's right. Quote him in almost every sermon.
Positive person.
Every day at some point he would say, always remember, guys, the best days are yet to come.
Yeah. Go for it.
You know? I told Phyllis that.
That's right.
My favorite thing he did, though, was that when he would almost sing a song, and then I think he realized, because he was a terrible singer, remember he'd go, bah! he would like come out of his office, and it was like he forgot where he was, and he's like, oh, there's other people listening. Bah! And he would just get quiet.
My favorite thing he did is he used to close out a prayer sometimes at church when we met, and he would give announcements in his prayer. He said, we're going to pray for this family, and the visitation's at 2 o'clock at Moorhurst today. And he would just slip in that little, you know, announcement in the prayer. I miss me some Carl. So we're about out of time. We are days away when this podcast airs for the release of Jesus Politics, How to Win Back the Soul of America. So I want to remind you guys about that. If you hadn't already got a pre-copy of the book, to be sure and get that. It'll bless your life. We'll be doing a lot of media about it, so you'll be seeing a lot of stuff in the next few days. But very important in the current climate to talk about who Christ is, kingdom living, and how those things impact it. So I expect the book to do well, Dad. I think it's the perfect time for it to come out as well.
So I hope so.
We're excited about that. So next time we are going to get back to this story. John 9, because look, there's more. I mean, it's the investigation is what comes up next, which is so reminds me of some of these things you see today when these people get after somebody. You know, oh, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Got to remember, the man did spit on somebody and claimed to heal him.
Mud pies.
That requires a full investigation.
Well, we're going to get one, and the implications are going to be pretty crazy, too. So we'll do that next time on Unashamed.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, and be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.